Thank you, Paige. You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Okay, are you guys ready to start this call? Because I am ready. This is going to be an exciting call tonight. How many people would like to be out there and have, well, would like to have prospects chasing you? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, who wouldn't want that? So tonight, Rick and Paige, and you know, we are so fortunate over this training. Rick and Paige have put this together for us, and we're so fortunate to have this all wrapped up for us. And tonight, Rick is going to be elaborating on how to get prospects actually chasing you, which I'm really excited about because this is one of my favorite calls. But I do want to point out that we are going to be having on the 11th of November, December, 11th of December, we're going to have another leadership training. I just want to make sure I get that right. We're going to have another leadership training, and don't forget, start planning now for the summit. Folks, if you're on this call, the live side or the quiet side, either way, there's some on both, that have never been to a summit, you have not seen anything until you've done that. So we're looking forward to that. I'm going to turn it over to Rick because Rick wants to make it a short call tonight because guess who's playing? So we're going to let it, Rick, Diamond Murphy, take over.
Hey, guys, how's everybody doing tonight?
Right.
It's good to hear your voices, and it just so happens to be halftime, which means we have a 29-minute phone call coming up. No, I'm just kidding. we're going to have a great time. It is so good to see you guys. Very, very glad to be with you tonight. As the accountability call did great before this, and one thing that I want to say as I'm listening, tonight we're going to dedicate our call to prospects chasing you, and that's something that is a mindset in this business. And hold that thought for just a second, because as Cowboy said, a couple upcoming events, we're going to really be putting some muscle and we're going to really be putting some shoulder into the worldwide preview because we want to make that platform available to people. And one of the ways we're going to be doing that is we're going to be broadcasting it from the road twice a month. Starting this week, we're going to be kicking off the first part of the road show live from San Antonio, Texas. We'll be broadcasting from Austin twice a month. And that leaves us one Thursday a month that is available for an at-large bid. So some of you guys out there that are in Texas or even around the country down the road, if you guys want to host it, Paige, how exciting would it be to go somewhere that we've never been and have a packed house and put on a television broadcast? Wouldn't that be awesome?
It is the vision that will happen.
Yes, and we've been wanting to do this for quite a while, and frankly, because of the expertise and proficiency of the Austin Round Rock and Central Texas team, from Kenneth Byer to Dana Jean to Liz Coker to the Meekers to Brenda, and I could name everybody down there that is a part of that, and Brenda Ramsey, the ultimate introducer, by the way. We have such a great group of people that what we're going to be doing is some really exciting things locally for that leadership group, too. Second, as Cowboy said, December 11th is going to be our next workshop. We moved a long way ahead again this time in the sense of technology, people at a distance. We still had some sound issues with some of our lighter speaking people with the feedback that we've gotten. So we will go yet another step beyond for microphone equipment for that one. So we're going to get this down, and it's going to be awesome. That's December 11th, the summit's April 29th and 30th. But tonight, what we're going to talk about is something very important. And you guys have probably noticed the last couple weeks. In fact, a couple of years ago, we were in Success From Home magazine, and they asked, you know, what our favorite books were, and everybody was given all these network marketing books and stuff, and I think that's great, don't get me wrong, and I put some in there that's a little bit different. One of my favorite books has always been Sun Tzu, The Art of War, and it's not because I like war, it's not because I love war, in fact, I can't stand war, but what I do love is the mindset of a champion, and that book does not teach you to go to war, it teaches you to prevail. And one of the things that I was blessed with when I was in the military is one of the first things I heard from our instructors is, we're not here today to teach you to fight, we're here to teach you to prevail. And prevail is very different than win. Prevail means you win by so much that the issue is not even in doubt. It's not 14 to 13, it's not 28 to 27, you won 96 to 0. How many of you guys in your kneecap business would like to win 100 to 0 every time you go out to play?
Yeah. That would be awesome.
That's what I want to talk about. And the things that make this business easy is literally the way that you view it and the angle that you come from. For example, if you guys walked up in front of a basket and you were in front of a basketball hoop and you were just a couple steps off to the right below the basket and it was up above you to the left, that's what we call a layup. Now, how many of you guys would agree that a layup is a super simple shot? All right, now let me ask you this. What if you took three or four steps forward and you're still really close, but you were behind the backboard? Would you guys agree that's a lot more difficult shot?
Oh, yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah.
So positioning yourself is everything. It's the difference between something being simple and something being challenging. So the reason I like Sun Tzu is not because he talks about wars, because it's really about people, and it's about mindset, and it's about prevailing. And when I see people talk about prospecting, the biggest struggling point I always see is people kind of, what people tend to do is their emotions are all over the map, meaning they're kind of halfway in, knee can. You know, we've got people even on our accountability call and our team and our life that are on that call when they have terrible illnesses in their family, they're traveling, they're in airports. Paige, last week from the side of the road, we did that literally. We sat in a parking lot for 20 minutes after driving 11 hours, didn't we?
Yes, and I want to interject something. I realize that not a lot of people are fans of Dancing with the Stars, but I'm always really interested in the personal stories, and they had an athlete, a basketball player, and he said that one of the biggest pieces of advice he got when he started playing was professionals play hurt, meaning you just quit. And that really resonated with me because we talk about, you know, being an amateur or being a pro in this business. And, you know, amateurs do it when it, you know, they hang around when the events are fun and they do things when there's a whole lot of fun going on. But when it things get hard, they tend to find something else to do because they just want to be in love with what they're doing. And so professionals play hurt. No matter what's going on, they're on this call. You're doing your
Absolutely.
Business every week.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, I'm not making this about us. But last week we'd driven like probably 9 hours and we sat in a parking lot for 40 minutes because we weren't going to have background noise on the phone because we're not amateurs. This is what we do. It wasn't a question. I've come out and gotten on calls at my grandfather's funeral. I've walked out for 10 minutes. I didn't miss the funeral and I didn't miss anything that the family was doing, but I was able to walk out for 10 minutes and dial into a call and tell you guys, hey, listen, you're important to us. So the bottom line, what I want to share with you guys, and what really is important is that, as Paige said, an amateur practices till they can't get it right. A pro practices till they can't get it wrong. An amateur gets excited. A professional is committed. And there's a big difference in those things. And so what people tend to do is they go out to talk to people, and they go talk to a prospect. They think they might come into the business, and that person says, oh, you know, I'm excited. And you give them a video, and you call back 2 days later, and they say they don't want to do it, and then you're just devastated. Anybody on this call ever been in that situation other than me before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or you think somebody's excited, and by gosh, they're going to buy not just one pro pack, they're going to buy 40. Just themselves. And then when they don't get their pack or they don't come to a preview, how many of you guys have ever done that, and somebody didn't come up and do it, and you were devastated other than just me? Let me ask you a question. In that situation, true or false, you have allowed somebody who doesn't share your vision to take away yours.
True.
Do you guys agree with that statement?
Yeah.
Would you agree that if you're ever waiting on what a prospect does or doesn't do, in other words, if somebody signs up, you're excited. If they don't, you're all of a sudden sad. Would you guys agree that you're actually giving the power over your business to somebody else?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when I was talking to you guys this week, I want to share a couple things with you about, and you guys may be surprised about getting, most people when I send out that email that are on this call, oh, I'm going to find my prospects chase me, they think it's a getting thing. I'm going to give you some video or some magic phrase tonight, and all of a sudden people are going to go bananas and beat your doors down. And what I want you to understand is that's not what it is. And I'm going to start out with a couple things from Sun Tzu because I want you guys to understand this. And it's going to be really interesting, and I want to start with this. And it's in the book, and I'm going to replace the word. First, I'm going to go straight through it. There's four bullets I want to read you guys. And I want you to hear them first, and then we're going to talk how they apply to NEAT and prospecting in particular. Number one, Sun Tzu said, the good fighters of old first put themselves beyond the possibility of defeat and then waited for an opportunity of defeating the enemy, meaning before they ever started fighting, they had already not lost. Now let me explain. A lot of people, when they read this, think that means you've already won. Is there a difference between not losing, meaning the enemy can't beat you, and beating the enemy? Is there such a thing as a stalemate, guys?
It's not actually a stalemate, but if you play and not lose, then you usually lose.
Interesting point. And I want you to read this part right here. the good fighters of old first make sure they can't lose and then wait for an opportunity defeating the enemy. Second, secure ourselves against defeat lies in our own hands, but the opportunity defeating the enemy is provided by the enemy himself. Number three, the good fighter is able to secure himself against defeat but cannot make certain of defeating an enemy. Hence the saying, one may know how to conquer without being able to do it. Now I'm going to apply this to Niken. The good Niken consultant must first put themselves in a position where they won't get knocked out of the business and then wait for the opportunity to meet someone who's looking. Would you guys agree that's a pretty fair statement?
Yeah.
Okay, number two. To secure ourselves against not getting knocked out of the business lies in our own hand, but the opportunity of signing somebody up is provided only by them if they have the need.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So here's number three. Thus, the good Niken consultant is able to secure himself and keep himself or herself in the business, but cannot make certain of someone else acting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the last part. Hence the saying, one may know how to help somebody get their kids out of daycare, get off medicine. One may know how to help somebody have a retirement without being able to do it.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that statement?
That's true.
Is it possible that you guys could know how to fix every problem somebody you know has and not be able to do it because they don't want to act?
Yeah.
Oh. The key to succeeding in this business is first you have to put yourself in a position to win, to be joinable, because here's the biggest single place where people struggle. They memorize catchphrases, they hand out millions of videos, they do all those things, but here's the thing that's going to get people to join you. How many of you guys have a good, let's just say bull pucky ometer? How many of you guys can tell when someone's full of baloney?
Yeah.
How many of you guys don't even know why someone's full of baloney? You can just tell they're full of baloney. Or have you guys ever thought somebody was real for a while, only to find out it doesn't take very long if they're not, and then you actually get more angry than if you never believed in them in the first place? Would you guys agree with that statement?
Yeah,
that's true.
So when you guys are building this business, the first thing you need to be for people to want to join this business is to be joinable. You want to be the kind of person other people would like to be around. And those are the things in this business. The standard in network marketing, and in this business in particular, is higher than in traditional business. And it's the kind of hire that all business needs to have. And that's your word is your bond. Your integrity is everything. And what you do is the most important thing you can control. So I put a couple things down on paper today. I only wanted you guys to think about this as we go through this. And I wanted to talk about preparing to win. And how do you win in the first place? And the first and foremost is make the decision. Before you ever talk to a prospect, most of you that dialed into this call tonight were expecting me to tell you something to say when you meet somebody. And I want you to know, just like Sun Tzu said, if you're at that point and have not done everything you need to win, no matter what you do, you're going to lose. Because the battle doesn't start, well, I'm watching the football game tonight. Do you guys think that these guys rolled out of bed, didn't practice and lift weights for 25 years and just rolled onto the field to play football? Or do you think they do 100 hours for every 1 hour they do in a game?
At least.
Yeah, and here's the beauty of this. If you're talking about being a real estate mogul, being a CEO, being a doctor, being a lawyer, these traditional high-powered careers, or even being a pro football player, 99% of us don't have the skills. We're never going to be 6'5", 280. We're never going to run a 4.340. No matter how much we prepare, we're never going to be able to get on that football field. No matter what you do right now, if you're a single mom or a single dad working 50 hours a week, you're probably not going to go back to college and get a degree and change the course of your life just because it isn't possible without a massive investment of time over 5 years to go and become something else. So most of the things you do once you make the decision, you're not even possible to go out and do something else. But in network marketing, whether you're a ditch digger or a doctor, the same basic skill sets allow anybody to be on a level playing field to reach the top. Anybody on this call tonight can make $100,000 a month. Network marketing is the great equalizer because the things that make us successful are not an MBA or a doctorate. They're not being able to run a 4.340. They're not being able to bench press 500 pounds. They're coming to meetings and putting yourself in the position of helping other people make decisions. The things that we do are so simple. We attend meetings. We talk to people. We're present on the calls. The basic steps that we do are things anybody can do, but they all stem from making that decision. And if you've made the decision that I'm going to do this, we're going to do this, this is what we do, that is going to set you so free in your mind. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. If you teach three people to go diamond, or if you find three people that want to go diamond, you will be a Royal Diamond. There's no if here. If you do 20,000 points next month, you will be a silver. I was talking to Jennifer today up in Dallas, and we were talking about NECAN, and we're talking about making a silver run next month, and they're going to put a pro pack in. And I said, wow, you'll be 2,700 points down the road. When she places that order, when she and Johnny place that order, she's going to be, along with he, a senior immediately. You guys understand what I'm saying? It's not like they're going to do it and then somebody's going to decide. If they do 5,000 points, they will be an executive. So the operative thing is not will you get it, it's will you do it. So if you've decided, you're in. The second thing is begin like you mean it. If you guys are going to build this business, get your buns on AutoShip, get your webpage set up, get your products in your hands, using them, start to be the person that you're trying to attract. One of the biggest things people do in this business is they do those, in other words, if I was to tell you guys that I'm going to do a thing, but then I don't do it, if I come back to you and say I'm super committed, you guys would probably not convict me due to lack of evidence. How many people on this call that are trying to attract Royal Diamonds, if they were in a court of law, could be convicted guilty of doing everything that it takes to make it? What do you guys think? Do you guys think out of 10 NECAN consultants, how many out of 10 do you guys think could be convicted of doing what it takes to be a Royal Diamond if they're in a court of law?
One or two.
Right. So before you ever step in the room with a prospect, the first thing you should do, you've already decided. Second thing, you've committed. You followed your decision with an action. You're connected in. You're attending events. You're doing the right thing. Now, by the way, this is what's so important about this business. Not who you say you are, you're what you do. Why do you guys think Paige and I have a qualifier on there where if you're a part of this call, you need to be qualified? Do you think it's just because it's something we decided to do? Or do you think it's something that's the first step of even having a valid leadership level business, where if you're doing those things, you're at least in the game?
Exactly.
You understand that? That's the integrity. That's the I'm doing it. That's the action that creates the result, which is the third one, which is offer it like a gift, not beg it like a favor. There's a peace and a calmness that comes with you standing in front of a prospect when you've already decided and you've already followed that decision with some actions and you've prepared yourself for success and you're plugged in. Those of you that get on this call when it's not convenient, you're already doing the right things. When you go to events when it's not convenient, you're doing the right thing. People that are in and out, you'll notice people don't join them, and the reason that they don't is because there's nothing to join. So before you ever start prospecting, I'll tell you, you know, the advice I was given in this business, get your life together. If you can't figure out your life right now, you're probably going to struggle in this. And I'm sorry, but people want to join someone that's got it together. So you guys have a $1 million opportunity in your hands right now. Get your act together at home. Get your life together. Spend your time trying to be a whole person, and you'll attract other people towards you in this business. Now, it's not about you because it's about the opportunity for them, but they're going to perceive when they talk to you whether or not you think this is something worth doing, and they're going to know it by your actions. I was talking to a consultant the other night about how people perceive leaders in this business, and one of the important things about this business is how people perceive what you're doing is so important. And so when you stand in front of a prospect, you're not telling them it's great. You're not telling them you're going to do it. They know it without you ever uttering a word. That is the single biggest characteristic of every good prospector in this business. And what you will see people prospecting when they don't have that calmness inside of them of, yeah, I'm going to make it, and yeah, this is just what I do, that's when you see they're anxious with ants in their pants. And what they're trying to do is convince people, and their emotions are all over the map. And if you're silver or above and you don't qualify this month, I'm going to tell you something really harsh. If that's okay with you, that's why you're not qualified. The reason you're not qualified is because it's okay for you not to be. Because if it wasn't okay, you would rectify it. Now, that's a pretty harsh statement. Do you guys agree with it? Or do you disagree with it?
I absolutely agree.
I agree with it.
Yeah, invariably, guys, everybody on this call has the business that they want. And the crazy thing about me, Ken, is invariably we're all paid exactly what we're worth. By the way, getting paid what you're worth, aren't you guys glad that's the case? Because I believe my wife and I are worth a whole lot of money. I do. I'll just tell you flat out. I'll stack us up against anybody in the corporate world, and that's why we're going to make a lot of money. Now, if I was in the corporate world, has anybody here ever been paid less than what they're worth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So go look at your check last month, and that's where your skill level was at creating an organization. And if you guys are silver above on this call, I want you to get that ant. I want you to have that ethic. I want you to have that thing that tells you it's important to me to get this thing done because it says something about me. It doesn't say it to me. It doesn't say it to Paige. It doesn't say it to Dennis and Ruth. When you're on auto ship or you're not on auto ship and you tell a prospect correct the nutritionals are, it's not about me. And it's not about your prospect. You guys understand invariably what you do says everything about you and how you do a thing. Now, having said that, when you're in front of a prospect, you've got that piece. I prepared myself to win. We've done the right things. We're using the products. We're all in. We're committed to what we're doing. We're excited about it. When I stand in front of a prospect, I don't have to overcome all that. You guys agree with me that if you haven't done all that stuff, meaning you're committed, and by the way, all that stuff, you're using the products and you've decided this is what you're going to do, and you're plugged in with the organization and the events. There's nothing there that's really that hard. There's nothing there that's hard. And so the second tier of that is when I get in front of a prospect, I don't have the, oh my gosh, if this person does it, then I'll get serious mentality, or oh my gosh, if this person signs up, then my business will take off. Before I've ever signed my first person up, because I've decided and I've gotten my stuff, my business has already taken off. It is certain. Victory for me is certain. We have prevailed before we've begun because the decision was made. So when you stand in front of that prospect and you say to yourself, you know what? I see a person in front of me. I've got that peaceness and that calmness and that center where I'm going to say to this person, hey, we're doing something we really believe in and we love it, and I don't know if it'd be a fit, but I'd love to share it with you. Then I can get in, you know, to the basics, the basics of the ABCs. My wife and I have our gear. We've made our decision. Now I'm staying in front of you, and you look at the way to get good meetings is the first thing you do is you're looking for qualified prospects. What we're looking to do is find people that are looking for something. That's what that means right there. People who are looking. You're going to get that by engaging people in conversation. Now, you notice what a lot of people do when they're talking to prospects is somebody is not that interested in back or they're not interested in tech. It's like a tiny little spark, and you start blowing on it super hard, and you blow it out instead of nurturing it. What you're looking to do when you're talking to prospects is have that open-arm fisherman stance, not hunter stance, to where you just are easygoing with people. You know, hey, you know, where are you from? How long have you lived here in Dallas or Austin? You know, how many years have you worked there? Do you like what you do? Really? Okay. How long have you lived over there? Those questions, and they're not questions like I've been around people who are prospecting that are asking it, and you can tell they're asking it at a rapid pace to where they're not actually asking the question. They're just checking things off on their list. How long have you lived here? Where are you from? What do you do? Are you just visiting? And then all of a sudden they're trying to whip a business card out of their wallet and cram it down the person's neck and get an email. They don't think they've got a prospect because they got four facts. What I'm looking to do is get that person talking more than I'm talking. In other words, get them talking about themselves. Find out as much as you can find out in a way that you actually care what they're saying because, you know, you're that needs detective to where somebody thinks you actually care about them. And they'll be able to tell by the tone of your voice if you're just trying to get their email or if you're actually trying to find out a little bit about them. And if they're your warmer, you already know a little bit about them, it'll be the exact same thing. You want to get them asking you questions. The key to this thing, and this is how to get prospects chasing you, is to say less than them and have them questioning you. So when you are answering NECAN questions, for example, if I say to you, you know, where are you from? How long have you lived here? You know, what do you do for a living? inevitably they're going to come back around and say, what do you do? Okay, that right there is a shift. When they say, what do I do? That's when I'm going to stop and say, well, my wife and I are helping to bring a big Japanese healthcare company here, and we work from home, and it's a great new way to work with a major corporation that lets us work out of our home with a franchise-type training model, and the thing is going to grow huge, and we look for folks that would like to earn a large residual income working from home. And then I'm going to be quiet. What I'm not going to do is say, hey, let me get your email, I'll send you a video. Have you ever done that one before?
Yeah.
How's that work for you?
Didn't work.
Okay. What I want to do, what I'm looking for, and this is the key to the chasing part, what I am looking for at that point, okay, is for them to ask that second question. Well, how do you hear about that? Well, oh, geez, they're driving again. Anyways, I want that second question where they say, well, how long have you been doing that? Well, how do you find out about it? I'm looking for those second and third and fourth questions. I want them leaning into me where instead of me saying, well, let me give an email, I'll send you a video, I want them saying, well, here's my email, I'd like to see some information. Well, I can say, well, I don't know if it'd be a fit, but, you know, would you be curious to go to lunch and sit down and I'll show you what we're up to, I'll bring a couple products and let's check it out and we'll see if it's a fit for you. You want that person on their toes leaning forward, because what you're looking for are people who are looking, and guys, I'm here to tell you, people who are looking, if they see something feels real. When you guys are talking to a prospect in the beginning, they're not seeing enough facts yet to know it's real. This is why, having made the decision, when you said, I'm going to do this, we're going to do this, it's not going to do this if somebody else likes it, we're going to do this. And then secondly, you have the peace, the presence and the peace of you that you're using the products and doing the things, they're going to feel like this is real, because it either is or it isn't based on the actions that you're doing. And they're going to kind of sense what this thing is. And I know, guys, this is a very non-scientific. Prospecting is more art than science. It's the art of human interaction. It's the things that make people want what you've got. That's scarcity. People are driven by scarcity, folks. When people are in a position, their job is not providing them what they want, or their health is not what they want, and you've got a way to help them get more of what they want, people are driven by that scarcity. If you can help them see that I have something here that is precious, something that is important, that will help you get what you want, that will help you negate your scarcity that you're in, then they're going to pursue it. Guys, if you do this and you understand what I'm saying right now, you won't be able to keep people out of your previews. If you're the person that asks three rapid-fire, breathless questions, and then they show a little spark of interest and you give a 12-minute talk on NECAN, and then run to your car and get a DVD, and then you go home and they don't return your call, that's why. If you see someone show interest and you get so excited because you've got a prospect, you go right out and call your upline, freaking out because you've got this hot prospect come to the preview, and then they don't come and you're devastated, what you're doing is you're playing at the amateur level. What a pro does is they recognize you have something of value. There will be many more prospects coming down the pipe, so you can afford to be relaxed, open, and honest with this one. Because at the end of the day, we're looking if NECAN is right for them. And only if it's right for them are they right for us. That's it. It will lead to a whole different level of building this business because, guys, we have something real to offer. In the beginning, they won't know that. They'll only know whether you think it's real or not. And they'll know you think it's real by what you're doing. And most of what you're doing, they won't know. They'll just be able to tell that you're doing it. So you guys that are silver and above, you guys are the ones that are supposed to be helping your group bring people on. Do you guys think that not only being in, but qualifying and doing those sorts of things are a big deal to your downline using you? This is a domino effect. Those silvers, you know, why do you think the people that are hanging volume have, why do you think the rich get richer in this business? Because the people around them also get the same, oh my gosh, my upline is rocking. If I go to a preview and I see a silver or a gold there, and I see one person in their downline with everybody in the room under that person, and the upline's not bringing other folks, the leader is the person below the upline, not the upline. I'm looking for the person that has the people in the room and bringing them. That's where it's coming from. That's the source of light and power. The moths gather to the light. wherever the moths are is who the light is in the group. So being the light will help you attract others to it. And I know when you hear this call topic tonight, how do you have people chasing you? I guess the thing I'm trying to tell you is most people that struggle in this business are chasing others. And they're dictating what happens in their business based off what other people do. And as Sun Tzu told us, we can't control that. We can only make it so we're in the business. We can't make it so they're in the business. But the interesting thing is, we let what they do determine whether we're in or not. And that is why most people chase people. When if you understand what this business is, first you have to be in order for other people to want to be where you are or what you're doing. And if you're brand spanking new, it doesn't matter. Well, I haven't done anything yet. It doesn't matter. It's about where you're going and the opportunity you have. And the power of the decision is just as big for a senior as it is for a diamond. The power of using the product and being committed, that works just as well for a royal diamond as it does for a direct, which if you've made the decision, you won't be a direct. You'll be at least a senior. But the bottom line here is to get people to chase you, they've got to think that what you've got, first of all, you believe it, and second of all, what you've got might help them. And those two things right there will be the thing that helps you take people who are looking and people who are looking to want to do something. Yeah, I'd like to get my kids in a deck chair, but, oh, you know, I don't want to come to a meeting. I mean, you're looking for people that have both. You're stepping into the high-quality appointments. You guys are going to see this page a lot. This is a key, critical, central thesis of prospecting. Once somebody says they're looking, I want the high-quality appointment, and it's a high-quality appointment if that person is saying, yeah, please call me. I'm really excited about this. Or, sure, please send me your email address. Yeah, sure, I'd love to give you a call. Hey, I'd like to get you on the phone with my partner. You know, Dennis and Ruth Williams are Upline Royal Diamonds. They're partners of ours. I'd love to introduce you to them. Do those little tests of what you're doing to see if they'll talk to other people in the organization. If they don't even want to do a three-way or something, you believe them. Now, remember, with people chasing you, go down this checklist. Are they qualified, and do they want to come to an appointment? See, this is putting the power of prospecting in your hands. You're looking for people who are looking, and looking for people that want to come to a meeting or watch a video. That's doing something about it. And then I'm going to give them high-quality information, either the preview or the videos. If you just follow this checklist, here's why. This will wrap up with a bow. Everything about this entire call, how to have prospects chasing you, the way to have prospects chasing you. How would you guys like on this call to have every prospecting situation come out in a positive manner? Who on this call would be interested in having every time you meet somebody turn out in a positive way? Anybody?
Absolutely.
All right, well here's
right.
The thing. What are you looking
for? May not want everybody you meet with.
Well, but here's the interesting thing. Are you looking for a sign-up, or are you looking if NECAN is right for them?
No, you're looking for the right people.
Absolutely. And right for them means NECAN's right for them, but doesn't it also mean they're right for us?
Yes.
So if I tell somebody that says, yeah, I can't stand my job, well, hey, you know what? My wife and I are doing something great. We'd love to take you to coffee and see if you'd be interested in taking a peek to see if what we have could help you. And we go to coffee, and they don't show up. Let me ask you a question. Did I get a positive outcome?
Yeah.
I did? Did I sign somebody up? Was my question, can I sign you up, or was my question, let me see if this person is right? Which was the question?
Right.
So if they don't come, I still got a positive response because I'm looking for talent.
Right, yeah.
How many of you guys would that very small thing, that realization, how many of you guys would that little itty-bitty thing completely change the way you view talking to people and give you total control over your emotions?
Yeah. Oh.
You understand the power that gives you if you understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you talk to somebody and they start telling you all the reasons they can't do this and you try to talk them into it, you talk to someone who's a doctor, a trainer, or something, and I'm just throwing that out there because it's fresh in my mind, and they say, I don't want to do the business, and you know, I don't see much about these products, and maybe I'll just go sell them to a few people or something. That's a positive outcome, too. They don't have to want to be a Royal Diamond.
Yeah.
because you're also trying to see how Niken fits into their life. But to build the business, you're looking for three people that want to build this to the top. So there's a lot of different degrees of a positive response. There's a product user. There's someone that wants to sell stuff like a personal trainer. There's people that want to sell in their doctor's offices. There's people that want to build the network. There's people that want to retail products. And there's people that don't want to do anything with it. Everything I just told you is a positive outcome because the question is, let's see. What I will need to do is once I've taught someone how to order, if they're just a product user, my time commitment is fulfilled. I'm going to invest time in people that want to build the career. So you guys all on this call, if you first position yourself for success, i.e., you've got yourself in a position where you can, you know, you've got your product, you've made your decision. When you're in front of a prospect, you're not saying, if you do something, I'll get excited. Or, wow, they showed interest, I'm going to go buy a yacht. Or, wow, somebody just, you know, told me they'd come to the preview, and you start counting your third silver pin. The minute you've done that, you've given the power over your gold pin, if it's your third silver, supposedly. Do you guys realize you've given the power over your gold pin to someone that's not even signed up? And has anybody in this call ever met a prospect? They seemed like they were a good one, and when they didn't sign up, you felt like you lost something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you?
No, not really.
No. So why do you feel that way?
Because if they don't see it, then they don't get it. So.
But why do you guys think we feel that loss?
Because we have different expectations from what actually happens.
Yes. And your expectation is based on getting, am I right? You're going to get your third silver.
Right.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. If the whole purpose of prospecting is to give somebody a chance at having what they want, does it seem like the opposite of that to be upset when you're not getting a sign-up?
Hmm.
That is why people struggle.
Yeah.
Right there. We tell ourselves we're giving a gift to somebody, yet we're upset if they don't give us a check. The master prospectors in this are people that understand, look, I'm going to make it anyway. I've decided. We've decided. My wife and I are all in. How do you know we're all in? Because we're laying on the bed. We're breathing the air. We're drinking the water. We're on auto ship. How do you know we're building the business? Because we come to meetings with people. How do you know we're serious about our business? Because we've got a step beyond that, and we're on this call even when we don't want to be or we're tired. The Bears are on in the third quarter. I'm going to tell you guys flat out, Armageddon could be happening, and I would be in front of the TV. I mean, how do you know we're serious? Because we're here. So all that has happened before I've ever talked to anybody. And when I talk to somebody, we've already decided we're going to make it. We've already decided we're willing to do it. So if I'm standing in front of a person, it's not, well, if you get excited, I'll do great things. It's, we're going to do great things. Wow, how would you like to get excited about having a better future? And then I'm relaxed because I'm not giving them the power to make me happy or sad. That's why people chase the people that get that. People chase people that seem like they have things that people want to have. And the biggest thing people want is peace. And if you guys have that when you're in front of prospects, you won't be able to keep them away from you. What do you guys think about that topic? Is that meaningful? Is it a lot of air? What are your guys' thoughts as we wrap up here in the last couple minutes?
I think it's great to help us realize what our expectations are.
How much of prospecting getting a good result do you guys think being prepared to even bring the business up to somebody, to be a successful prospector, how much of that do you guys think? Well, if you're a silver, on a scale from 1 to, let's say 75%, 50%, 90%, how much of that percentage of the successful outcome of that, meaning they're going to see this seriously, is based upon you before you ever meet them trying to be the prospect that you would like to attract?
I think it's 100%.
100%? It's a significant part.
Yeah,
huge. It's a significant. I just wrote something here. I'm going to read this. It's from somebody in New Mexico. I do feel like I lost them and didn't sign up. My sense of loss comes when they come in and I can't convert the initial energy. That's a great thing. That's from Pam and Sharna in Gallup, New Mexico. When you say you can't convert the initial energy, generally what you'll find when that happens. Has anybody else in the call ever had a problem where people sign up but they don't necessarily do a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, definitely.
Look, Paige and I can tell you how to fix this, and she's excellent at this, too. We've had many discussions on this. If you're bringing people on and they're not doing stuff, that doesn't mean one person won't do something. I'm talking as a rule. If you find that happening, you're selling them in.
Exactly.
People that talk a lot, and I'm not saying this applies to the folks in New Mexico. I'm saying it just for everybody. The lower your percentage of people doing things when they start, generally the challenge there is us selling people into the business, meaning they're signing up because we've given them enough facts where they feel logically it's something they ought to do. The way to get people turned over in this business is not to sign them up and not to get them to ink an application, and then you're working your butt off so they place an order. The goal of this process is to have enrollment, and enrollment is getting people to enroll in their own vision.
Right.
When we're talking to prospects, it's, we're going to build Austin, we're going to build Texas. Boy, we can have you out of your job in 3 to 9 months. You know, wouldn't you like to get your kids at a daycare? The more they see this as their idea and getting started as something they're excited about, there's a direct correlation between how much they'll do when they start. So the less people do when they fill out their application, it's usually direct proportional to how little or big they see this happening for them. A lot of very well-intentioned NECAN people are so excited. They get other people excited enough to sign up based off my vision or based off your vision, but they don't get them excited enough to do anything based on their own vision. That makes sense, everybody?
Yeah.
In other words, we're signing people up because they think they ought to, because, well, we convinced them this is cool.
I think you summed it up in that one statement. I wrote it down, and I think I'm going to put it all over the place. You know, only if it's right for them is it right for us. And I think that's the key.
It's very true. And then the other thing I'll tell you about that, you know, the Bears are on the 1 yard line. It's fourth and goal. they got stopped fourth and goal again. Anyway, sorry, buddy.
What's the score?
You're absolutely, it's 10-7. The Bears are losing, and they just got stopped on the 1 yard line for the second time this year. It's an outrage. Anyway.
Oh,
you know, I got a hard life. I'm a Bears fan and a Notre Dame fan. It's hard.
We live in Texas.
Yeah, and you know, the Texas lost this weekend. It was a brutal football weekend. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can to stay focused here. But anyway, the thing is that honestly, you guys, Rhonda, what you just said is to do it for their reasons, but don't get excited for your reasons. Get excited about what people do. Don't get excited about... Get excited about what people do because they're excited about their vision. Don't get excited about giving out a video. Don't get excited about someone saying they're going to come some way. I guess maybe the thing is, don't get excited about what people say. Get excited about what people do.
Right.
Yeah.
Rick, I'd like to interject something, too, that you kind of touched on earlier. I think that if we all go back to our 90-day planner to page 6, and really focus on why someone should join you in the business, I think that's important, and it kind of puts in perspective of, you know, what we put out to people as to why someone would even want to join each of us. I think it's important that we're real clear on what we're doing to kind of magnify people into us, you know? So
yeah, and that's why that's in there. And this Kelly from Team Tolerance
really wrote
something
that sort of gets looked over.
Absolutely. And Kelly just wrote from Team Tahoe, how about those that say they want to do the biz, but actions soon don't match their actions, even though with all the encouragement to grow. Remember, it's about enrollment. Anybody that fades in and out, well, let me tell you guys this. If your energy for NECAN moves, NECAN's never the one that moves. We move.
Exactly.
So when your downline wavers, as new people do, because what I'm trying to lay out to you guys is the ideal, where you should be mentally, and this is how you become a professional and a champion. But the bottom line with that, Kelly, is the best thing you can do for those people is if you've got a group and nobody's doing anything, and one of your new people comes on and they don't do much, the best way you can build the belief of the people around you is you as the leader go sponsor someone and make something happen and then show people how it's done. Don't tell that one person, you know, basically that they need to do it. That's the only way you can help people that waver in the vision is to put success around them. So, you know, you can't control, once again, you can only control what you do. People are going to fade in and out. Look, guys, even the good Lord will pick 12 apostles and one of them faded out. You know what I'm saying? And he was a pretty good picker, I would imagine. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah.
And so if you've got people in your group that fade in and out, you can't control that. Remember, you can only control what you do. So work and bring on people in your group until you find people that are self-driven and going to do it. Sometimes you're going to get people that are excited enough to start but not excited enough to finish. That's why we don't sponsor one person. Keep sponsoring people till you find the people that you have. And guys, you only need 3 to 6. You don't need 10 million people. You know, Dennis Roos said they did have like 14 or 15 good people. Maybe it was 16. I mean, even they have 16 good people that have been in the business for 20 years. Would anybody here go find 16 good people to make 50 million bucks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not talking about 8,000 people. I'm talking about you need to find 3 to 10, let's say. So if you have to sponsor 22 people to get your 8 or 10, is that a big deal?
No,
but what happens is we get so blown out of the water by one, we get one person says they're excited, we don't talk to anybody else for 3 months. I mean, you guys are in for a long road if you talk to one person this month.
Yeah.
You know, then you're giving the power again. Remember what Sun Tzu said, you can prepare to not lose the battle, but you have to go, but your enemy has to decide, you know, that, you know, it's up to them whether they make the mistakes to lose. You can't control that. You can only control you. So those are some great questions out there. Anybody have any final ones before we go? Was this helpful tonight to you guys?
Yes, it's great. Yeah, very helpful.
Yeah, and this is the thing. You know, it is hard, Kelly said this again, to see someone not believe in their dreams. Well, you're absolutely right. There's nothing that's harder about that, but remember, you're a network marketing professional. What you have to do is live your dream. That's going to inspire. Why do you think Dennis and Ruth send that list out? They already know who's on it. Why do they send a list out? What do you guys think? To show other people that people are succeeding. That's why they do it. Dennis and Ruth already know, and the people that made the list already know. So isn't the list for the people who aren't on the list, if you really think about it?
Yeah.
What does that tell you about building a big business? Sure. And the last thing I'll tell you, the more fun you're having, the more people you'll attract. The bigger the smile on your face, the more people you'll attract. The more excitement and good vibes at your preview, the more people you'll attract. Never let a bad word or something like that cross your lips around Niken. I won't even ride down the road in the car with other diamonds and talk negative about things I don't like. I get calls all the time from someone, oh, this is wrong and that's wrong. And I say, oh, I've got a call on the other line, and I click over and I never come back.
Yeah.
I have no time for it. Be positive, because I'll tell you something, this is the last thing I'll say. The reality of your Niken business is 100% up to you. I got to be honest with you guys. I don't interact with the corporation ever. We order the products, but Niken just sits out in California and sends me a check. The reality of our business is what my wife and I do here and the people we surround ourselves with. Paige, you said something the other day. You said, nah, I'm 40. I want to be around anything you've learned. You said you wanted to be around positive people, didn't you?
Yes, I absolutely said that. The one thing that I've truly realized is that I really only am going to surround myself with people that bring me up, period.
That's right. That's right, because we're responsible for our own reality, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. I can create my day. I can absolutely create my day.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to finish it up, inspiration and motivation that can be done. Kelly from Tahoe again chiming in. You're right. And then there's one other thing I'll add to that. Go out and do it. So not only telling people that it can be done, but show them that it has been done. What do you guys think about that? Do you guys think it's more powerful to tell people it can be done, or more powerful to just quietly show people that it's being done?
Lead from the front.
Yeah.
Right. Just show people that it's being done.
Yeah.
And then you won't have to even tell them that it can be done.
Actions always speak louder than words.
They do. And remember, at the end of the day, if there's, when it comes to what's said and done, there's usually more said than done. and that's the thing about this business, is just enjoy yourself. You will have people chasing you. If everybody out there is so miserable in their jobs right now, if you can just get in front of people and tell them, man, I'm with a great company. I don't know what you're complaining about. I found the coolest way to work I've ever found. That one statement right there would have you have so many prospects you won't know what to do with them. Do you guys think that just saying that would make you the oddball on the street?
Oh, yeah.
So, create the kind of place that other people want to be around, and you're going to have people chasing you like crazy. And next week, just kind of wrap it up, we're going to do something really fun. We're going to teach you how to make a business plan and how to goal yourself and how to use the numbers in the 90-day planner so you know how many people you ought to be talking to, what your volume goals ought to be. We're actually going to teach you how to build and track your volume plan this quarter. I think it's going to be a very powerful call, and we're literally going to give you a roadmap for either going or breaking a silver and beyond. Does that sound good to you guys?
Sounds great.
Awesome. Well, I shudder to go and look at the game right now, but I'm going. I really enjoyed the call with you guys. Anybody have any closing comments before we all beat feet?
No. Perfect.
Awesome. Well, let's have a great one. We love you all. Have a great one. Next week, we have a great call, too. We'll see you on the Worldwide Preview live as this ends the search from San Antonio, Texas, okay?
San Antonio. Everybody come into it.
All right, guys, and we will see you guys in Waco on the morrow, okay? So we'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye. Bye.